words and music. The readers were John Rowe and Leah Williams. The programme was produced by Zahid Worley. Next week, words and music about awakenings. That's on Sunday night at the later time of 11 o'clock.
This year's Aldeburgh Festival is underway, and Performance on 3 is delighted to feature some of the highlights. As one of the event's founders, it's fitting that Benjamin Britten should feature. And next Thursday, the Hebrides Ensemble makes its festival debut, performing his Gemini Variations. Then on Friday, the melodic charm and infectious energy of Dvorak and Wolf are at the heart of a programme perfectly suited to the vibrancy of the Scottish Ensemble. Join me, Martin Handley, for highlights from the Aldeburgh Festival in Performance on 3 next Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.
And we're also in Aldeburgh for our lunchtime concerts from Tuesday onwards. This is BBC Radio 3. It's now just after 11:30. Time for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. Today, two giants of their instruments, guitarist Martin Taylor and pianist Brad Meldow. Later, I'll be talking to Brad about his current album, Highway Rider, and his venture into string writing. And UK master guitarist Martin Taylor will perform an exclusive solo set recorded in Glasgow. But to start today's show, let's hear something from the Grand Dame of Brazil, Tania Maria. She was one of the very first interviews I did for Jazz Lineup, and she was exactly as I'd hoped, colourful, full of great stories, very friendly and very passionate about music. So here's a song from her new CD, which was recorded live with the Frankfurt Radio Big Band, and it's probably her greatest hit. It is, of course, Come With Me.
Come with me now. person of my life. Come with me, make me smile. Hold me in your eyes. Come with me now.
Right now, baby, said right now. I need you close to warm my life.
From her new release, It's Only Love, on the BHM label, that was the legendary Tani Maria, with the Frankfurt Radio Big Band conducted by the extremely talented Jörg Achim Keller. Described as a cultural prodigy by The Guardian's John Fordham, pianist Ketil Bjørnstad started out as a classical pianist, making his debut with the Oslo Philharmonic playing Bartok. He was fascinated by the Norwegian improvising scene ECM was documenting, and changed his priorities and switched scenes to begin playing with the Jazzmen. Well, here he is with tenor saxophonist Tor Blomberg and drummer John Christensen. From his new release, Remembrance, this is Ketil Bjørnstad.
Thank you.
Recorded in a single day and mixed the next. That's fast even by ECM's famously disciplined standards. From their new CD, Remembrance, on the ECM label, that was Ketil Bjornstad on piano, with Tor Brunberg on tenor sax and John Christensen on the drums. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. Well, in a moment, I'll be talking to pianist and composer Brad Meldow about his new CD, Highway Rider, a project that introduces us to his string writing. But first, let's hear a track with just the rhythm section, who are Jeff Ballard on drums and Matt Chamberlain also on drums, with Larry Grenadier on bass and Joshua Redman on tenor saxophone. This is Into the City. From his new CD, Highway Rider, that was Into the City, written by Brad Meldow, who I'm delighted came to talk to us at Jazz Lineup when he was last in the UK. I started by commenting that he had taken some time to write this music, as he wanted to let the format come to him.
I worked with John Bryan, who produced this one, about 10 years ago, and I said to myself, after that record, this was lots of fun, but if I ever do something with him again, I'd like it to be a larger ensemble. Mm. And I'd like to write something more, to write a lot more. And so, for whatever reason, this kind of started presenting itself to me, you know, about 2 years ago.
If I could just interject and say, it's because it is Jeff Ballard on drums, Larry Grenadier on bass, your trio, but the rest is a chamber orchestra. Mm-hmm. That's what made this, and it's a double album, so it's
right.
Like 15
And also Joshua Redman
of course,
solo
and
voice.
Dan Coleman and
he conducts
the, yeah. So it's massive, isn't it? Really?
It's pretty big, yeah. And that was another reason why I wanted to get John in there, because one of the first questions we had is, okay, I'm writing this music, I want to use these guys and jazz musicians and improvise, you know, like that, but I also want to have this orchestra that's 28 pieces. And I want to do it all live, you know. I want all of us to play together and not do it like a disco record, adding the strings later, you know. And he said, well, of course, yeah, we'll do it that way. So a lot of his capacity was figuring out how to do that and make it sound good. So you could hear everything clearly, and you could also hear, you know, the air and the room and the space between everybody.
I was reading online somebody, a fan who was at the session, was saying that John was almost kind of mixing in real time the drums on the desk. He was almost part of the band, because he was talking about his production credentials a little bit later on. So when you got into the studio, did you choose, handpick all the musicians, the orchestra? Did you know all their playing? Did you write specifically for horn players as well as the trio?
For the orchestra, I didn't. For the orchestra, I put in the hands of Dan Coleman and another contractor who worked with him to get top-notch session players in Los Angeles who play classical music one day and the next day they do a film soundtrack, and he sort of cherry picked them from around the Los Angeles area.
Great.
So I was meeting all of them for the first time.
And when they played the music, and you know, you were very humble and said you're still reeling from it, did you have to change much? Did anything not work out how you'd had it in your head?
It was pretty much, it had to be what it was, because
you only had a day.
You've got a three-hour session union. The clock is ticking, and we had 2 3-hour sessions to do all the orchestral stuff. So, you know, I come in there, and I'm all emotional hearing my music that I worked so hard on for, you know, years. And literally the first note, it's already recording, and it's like, okay, let's go on to the next one, you know. So we got maybe 2 takes of each one, and then it's sort of, okay, there it is.
Bye.
Yeah.
Well, before we go into the next piece of music, let's just talk about John Bryan, because, as you said, the second time you worked with him, and he's a renowned producer. I mean, I know him from Fiona Apple and Amy Mann. But what makes him so special to work with? I mean, did you have faith in his production touches in this setting, you know, orchestras? Or had he done anything this big before? I mean,
he's done a lot of stuff with strings on some of the soundtracks that he's written the music for, actually, like some of these Paul Thomas Anderson. I'd say his biggest score maybe is, there's a few, Magnolia is really a big one.
I
heard that one and I said, okay, he knows how to record strings in an orchestra. And that was a really big orchestra. So, yeah, he was definitely the person I thought. If you think about records, jazz improvisation and an orchestra going on, it's hard to find a precedent that's perfect, because you have on the one hand some beautiful records made in the 50s where everyone's in one room. You know, if you think of some of that Miles Davis stuff with Gil Evans, and there's this wonderful live quality about it, but you don't always get a specificity hearing everything. And then you think about some other records that were made in the 80s that are beautiful, but they have more of an 80s production aesthetic, which is really almost sterile, and everything's separated from everything else. And I wanted to somehow bridge the gap, and I knew that's what he could do, it because that's what he wanted to do too. John will sit there and chase something until you can hear it perfectly, but still keep where it is with everything else. And it's really fun to watch him, and kind of drives you crazy. Sometimes I had to leave the room when he was mixing, because he'll just chase something for 3 hours.
Was this something that you could hear as well, or was it something that you would have left? I mean, is that what makes a producer great?
Exactly, because I wouldn't have heard it, but then after he was done, I heard it, and it couldn't have been any other way.
Yeah,
you know, but I didn't realize it at the time, you know.
I'd like to move on to a piece now called Now You Must Climb Alone. If you could just tell us about the title, and then afterwards we'll talk about the Richard Strauss piece that influenced you so much with this. So what's the title?
Well, about? I'm thinking about a journey on this record, and I'm thinking about someone setting off from home. They're traveling, and to skip ahead, eventually that person will come home again. Mm. But there's periods in a journey, and to me it's just maybe a metaphor for your life, where you have to go through things alone. And then there's other periods where you walk with someone else or a group of people, and you do them together. And this is sort of the alone part of the record.
It's my favorite piece. Let's hear it now. Cool. Now You Must Climb Alone from Brett Mehldau's new CD. from Highway Rider. That was Now You Must Climb Alone. I'm talking to Brad Meldow. Brad, tell us about the Richard Strauss Metamorphosis piece that you, I don't suppose it's wrong to say you copied, but he inspired you for years, and that piece we've just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Writing each individual string player their own part.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Strauss wrote this gorgeous piece where he designated one separate part for each violin, viola, cello. So what you have is a score with 23 separate staves. And what it is really is sort of a crash course in how to orchestrate for strings specifically, and all the different coloristic effects you can get from, for example, only having one violin playing a soaring melody above the whole thing, or a violin and a cello and a viola all playing the same thing, and the sonority that creates, and then being able to fluidly change that all the time. So
It's quite brave of you, really, to do that. Did you doubt yourself at any time during when you heard it back? Did you say, oh, no, it's worked?
All the time, yeah. I mean, the thing about writing just in general for an orchestra, it's always self-doubt. And, you know, if you stop too long, you can get stuck in that because you can just say, oh, look what... Prokofiev already did
this.
You know, like, I'm just trying to... So you just have to step away from it and, you know, do what you're doing.
But they didn't have the... Yeah, exactly. Well, I think you've done a marvellous job. And they didn't have people like the guests you've got. Let's talk a bit about Joshua Redman now. Did he come into the studio sort of cold then and have to improvise over these complex harmonies? How much did you have to write in space for him to improvise? How did that work?
Yeah, that was a fine line between giving him too much or not giving him enough. And what I eventually gave him was more or less what you usually give a jazz musician. I gave him melody that he needed to play, or chord symbols when he needed to solo. And I didn't send him the score of what the orchestra was going to play behind him, because I didn't want him to get bogged down in it too much.
Frighten the life out of him, run away.
Yeah, so what you have is... So then also I had to think of somebody who could handle that. And basically Josh was the guy I could think of who could be quick on his feet enough to intuitively respond to this dissonant thick stuff that he's hearing, you know, for the first or second time.
He was live too. I mean, he wasn't in a booth so that he could sort of come back later. He had to do it there and then.
Yeah, so he had to do it then, because he was in the room with us. It was all of us in the room of the rhythm section and Josh in one room, and it was the strings in another room, so we could fix a few things with the strings, but there was a little bleed between the two rooms too, so there were a couple fixes we could do.
And he's really sort of brought so many colors to it. He's really matured as an artist, hasn't he, over the years? He's just world-class.
I'm just such a fan of his tenor playing, obviously, but his soprano playing on here
he really excels on this, I think.
Yeah, he's gotten really strong with that. And I just feel like Josh is one of those guys. I'm sure you have that as well. There's peers musically. There's people you relate to from your own generation that are different from someone, you know, 15 years younger than you or 15 years older.
Sure.
It's because you listen to the same records.
Yeah.
You grew up in a certain time and place, and so certain things push buttons for you, so you don't have to talk about it as much too.
Yeah.
So when he heard the music, when he heard the basic structure of it that I sent him, he was already in there.
Yeah, you know, he was off.
That was cool. Yeah.
So now you've really truly delved into sort of serious orchestration. Have you now really got the bug?
Well, we do have some performances scheduled with an orchestra from here, actually, from the city of Birmingham, a fabulous group, and we're going to take it on tour around Europe, and a couple scheduled in the United States too. So that'll be exciting. And as far as writing more, I think I would love to do it. The only problem is it takes so much darn time.
Mm.
It's so time-consuming, you know? And the perk of being an improvising jazz musician is that you can get into your place, your output, with a little less time-consuming process of the...
But did you have copyists and people helping you with it, or did you just...
Copyists,
You had to...
Yeah, but there's a certain point... even with music writing software, which is nice because you can be on an airplane and you know, there's a certain point where if you're really doing it, you just have to slog through it with at least for me, with a pencil and paper, and you know, go at it. and maybe it gets quicker as you get more experience. This is only my second time.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah.
You know, so I'm sure it gets quicker with more experience. Yeah.
So we talked about the romantic undercurrent that I think runs through all of your music. And the last piece we're going to play is Always Departing, again with this string thing. So I've picked mm-hmm. these three. It must have really spoke to me, that whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
And in my little head, movie in my head, this is a kind of dedication to... You know, your family, you're a right. family man, you have children, you have
for
a
sure.
successful wife.
Yeah.
Always departing, you know, you look at your tour sheets, you're yeah. away for a long time. I kind of imagined that this was sort of about that, about
oh,
you
for sure.
leaving.
Yeah, that one and Don't Be Sad, that's earlier in the record, and a few other ones. Yeah.
Well, let's hear Always Departing. Thank you so much for
Thanks
coming
for
in.
Me, Claire.
Great to
Pleasure.
Talk to you. It's a wonderful work, 15 beautiful pieces of music, and we wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Always Departing, taken from Brad Meldow's current CD, Highway Rider, and thank you to Brad Meldow for talking to us. He'll be in the UK in November for this year during the London Jazz Festival. Vocalist Georgia Mancio has 5 more dates on her extensive UK tour to promote her wonderful new CD called Silhouette. You can hear her on the 22nd of June at Dempsey's in Cardiff, the 23rd of June at Swansea's Jazzland, what a great venue that is, the 25th of June in Essex, she's at Marigold's, the 11th of July, she plays a lunchtime date at Ignite, and that's at the Royal Albert Hall, and finally, she finishes in Ipswich on the 18th of July at the Ipswich Jazz Club. Well, here she is with a brilliant arrangement of Betty Comden and Jules Stein's Just in Time.
Just in time, I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed, nowhere to go. Now you're here, now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. For love came just in time. I found you just in time and changed my lonely life that lovely day. Just in time, I found you just in time. Before you came, I was lost. The losing dice were tossed. My bridges all crossed. Nowhere to go. Now you're here. Now I know just where I'm going. No doubt, no fear. I found my way. For love came just in time. I found you just in time and changed my lonely life that lovely day. You just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost. The losing dice were tossed. My bridge is all crossed, nowhere to go. Now you're here, now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. For love came just in time. You found me just in time and changed my lonely life that lovely day. And changed my lonely life, changed my lonely life, changed my lonely life. That lovely day changed my lonely life, that lovely day changed my lonely life, that lovely day. Change my lonely life, that lovely day.
Giorgio Manzio singing through the harmonic and time changes from her new CD, Silhouette, with John Pierce on piano, Julie Walkington on bass, Gareth Lacrane on flute, and Dave Ohm on drums. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin. You can hear all or part of the programme at your leisure via the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days by simply logging on to the BBC Radio 3's homepage and following the links from there. Well, our concert set continues our theme of world-class instrumentalists. Last month, Jazz Lineup recorded a unique solo set from Martin Taylor at the press launch of the Glasgow International Jazz Festival, which opens on the 18th of June, and Jazz Lineup will be very much in attendance. Martin has just released an album, Spirit of Django, in which he teams up with veteran jazz accordionist Jack Emblow with a six-piece band. But it's to Martin's solo excellence that we turn to today. So now to the Green Room venue of the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow for Martin Taylor in concert, solo. He begins with the Victor Young classic, Stella by Starlight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was called Stumping at the Savoy. And before that, I played Stella by Starlight.
Thank you.
called Don't Know Why by Norah Jones. No, it wasn't written by Norah Jones. It was written by Jesse Harris, but Norah Jones had a hit with it. Getting back home, I went into my studio and I found some guitars that I'd forgotten about. This is one of them. But I saw this sitting in the corner and I thought I would do something a bit strange. So I put all the wrong strings on it. Sounds good, doesn't it? The high strings, which should be at the top, are in the middle. The middle strings at the top. And they've got some really low ones here. Glasgow audiences are notoriously generous and kind to... Actually, it's quite interesting. Have a listen to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Old, very old tune. I'm Old Fashioned. Came from a Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie. I'm going to have one more attempt at this guitar. It won't beat me yet.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free, played by Martin Taylor, and recorded at the Green Room venue in the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall on the 10th of May. Martin Taylor will formally launch his Spirit of Django album at the Glasgow International Jazz Festival on Thursday, the 24th of June. The reluctantly politicised Mr. James is the second album by Spin Marvel, a group that wowed the critics with their debut self-titled album in 2005. Led by drummer Martin France, it features some of Europe's most progressive improvisers, with seven tracks intertwined as though a single through composition. Well, here's track four, entitled Reconciled Rotation. From the new CD Spin Marvel 2, from Spin Marvel, who are Martin France on the drums, Niels Petter Molvar on trumpet, John Paracellis playing the guitar, Tim Harris on bass, and Terje Evensen on percussion and sound audio editor. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, Kevin Legendre will present Jazz Lineup, featuring an extended interview with the multi-talented and highly unique Bobby McFerrin, talking, among other things, about his new CD. Jazz on 3 tomorrow night features US saxophonist David Murray, who is joined by drummers and vocalists from Guadeloupe. The concert was recorded at the Bath Festival in May. That's it from me, Claire Martin. Until next time, bye-bye.
Music Through the Night, now on Radio 3. Hello, I'm John Shea. And over the next couple of hours, you can hear a Haydn string quartet and Ravel's Sonata for Violin and Cello, as well as an orchestral suite by this programme's favourite Scottish-French-German Baroque composer, Georg Muffat. And Dvorak's D minor wind serenade is in about 90 minutes from now. The music that gets us underway was all performed at the Sandviken Chamber Music Festival in Sweden in the summer of 2008, and besides Haydn and Ravel, Schumann and Shostakovich are also on the bill. Four of a set of 44 violin duos by Bartok to begin, a teasing song, Sorrow, an Arabian song and Pizzicato. Philippe Graffin and Per Enoksen are the violinists.
Thank you.
four of Bartók's 44 duos, played by Philip Graffer and Per Enoksen. 1849 was a year of political turmoil in Germany. Schumann, characteristically, withdrew into his dream world, and among the chamber music he produced was the Adagio and Allegro in A-flat. It was originally for horn and piano, but Schumann had no objection to its being played on the cello. Quite what he would have made of a saxophonist borrowing it, I'm not sure.